Chapter 43. Now on the 47th day of the siege, as the Yodfat defenders still held out courageously and bore up under their miseries beyond all expectation, the Roman earthworks indeed overtopped the wall. But that same day, a deserter sent out a message to Vespasianus, stating how few were left in the city and how weak they were, and that, worn out with perpetual watching and continuous fighting, they would indeed be unable to further resist a powerful assault, and that they might be caught by a cunning contrivance if the attempt were made. For about the watch of the night, an hour, both when they expected some respite from their sufferings, and when weary men easily succumbed to morning slumber, the sentinels used to fall asleep. Now this was the hour when he counseled the Romans to make their attack. But Vespasianus indeed knew, both, how loyal the Judeans were to one another, and their indifference to chastisement. So, he regarded this deserter with suspicion. For on a former occasion, a man of Yodfat, who had been taken prisoner, had held out under every examination by torture, and without betraying to his foes a word about the affairs of the city, even under trial by fire, he was finally crucified, meeting death with a smile. Yet truly, the probability of his account lent credit to what this deserter had spoken. And indeed, thinking that the man was probably speaking the truth. Indeed, even if his story were a trap, that no serious risk would be suffered by acting upon it, Vespasianus directed them to take the man into custody. But he prepared his army for the capture of the city. Now, according to this resolution, at the given hour, they silently advanced to the walls. And the first to mount them was Titus himself, with one of the tribunes, Domitius Sabinus. And they were followed by a few men of the 15th Legion. Now after they slaughtered the guards, they entered into the city. With them was a certain tribune, Sextus Calvarius and Placidus, both of whom were leading in the soldiers having been assigned under themselves. Now at that moment, the citadel was actually taken, and our foes ranged through the very midst of the city. But it was not even until broad daylight, when the vanquished inhabitants became aware of their capture. For most of them, worn out with fatigue, were fast asleep. And if any awoke, a thick mist, which happened at the time to envelop the city, obscured their vision. Finally, when the whole Roman army had poured in, they started up, only to realize their calamity. And it was their being done away with that brought them to the realization that Yodfat was taken. But the Romans, remembering what they had suffered during the siege, showed no measure of pity for sparing anyone. Instead, they thrust the people down the precipice from the citadel, murdering them as they thrust them down. Even those who were still able to fight at this time found themselves deprived of the ability to defend themselves due to the difficulties of the terrain. For being crushed in the narrow alleys and slipping down the precipice, they were engulfed in the war which streamed from the citadel. This situation even drove many of the picked men of my party to kill themselves with their own hands. For when they found themselves powerless to do away with a single Roman, they resolved to prevent themselves from being slain by Roman hands. And retiring together in great numbers to the outskirts of the city, there they were done away with, slaughtering themselves. Yet truly, the moment it was known that the city was taken, the Judean sentinels, who had succeeded in escaping, took refuge in one of the northern towers. Indeed, here they defended themselves for some time. But being surrounded by a multitude of their foes, they finally gave their right hands and cheerfully offered their throats to be cut by their assailants. Now the Romans might have boasted that this last phase of the siege had cost no loss of blood, had not one of them, a centurion named Antonius, fell when the city was taken. But he died by treachery. For one of the many Judean fugitives who had taken refuge in the cave besought Antonius to extend his right hand in pledge, both to assure his salvation and to assist him in getting up. Now the centurion incautiously complied, extending his right hand. And immediately, the Judean from below stabbed him beneath the groin with his spear and made an end of him on the spot. So indeed, on that day, the Romans did away with all of the multitude who openly showed themselves. But on the ensuing days, they searched the hiding places and wreaked their vengeance on those who had sought refuge in the underground passages and in the caves. They spared none, regardless of age, except for infants and women. And indeed, the total number of prisoners was 1,200, while the total number of corpses, whether dying in the final assault or in the previous combats, came to 40,000. But Vespasianus directed for the city to be entirely demolished and had its fortresses burned to the ground. Therefore, this was indeed how Yodfot was taken. In the 13th year of the imperial reign of Nero, on the first day of the month, Panemos.